I'm an addict. And I need it in my veins, I'm an addict. Otherwise I feel plain now. I ain't a junkie, I just draft a lot. I ain't really got a lot of thoughts, I just pack them in a box. So I popped up on this pod, now I'm outside of the box. When I pop up on the clock, last thing I think is talk. See, I'm winning it now, loving it 300,000. They peeping my style, peeping it now, steadily growing my Dow Jones. Oh no, these kiddies be thinking they crowd. Oh no, no, immediately throwing the towel. See, when it's different, go position by position. Ain't no ish in commission, as a commission, I just listen. They envision my vision and my division I'm stealing. Cause I be willing and dealing, find me the trade cause I'm a fiend. I'm a junkie, ayy, and I'm a junkie, ayy. Ain't no denying my supply, I'm a junkie, ayy. See, I'm a junkie, ayy, and I'm a junkie, ayy. Be getting high off my supply, I'm a junkie, ayy.
I am Frank in the chat and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Andrew Hall, and I still have a trading problem.
Yeah, junkie with a trading problem. We might have to throw that music in tonight. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 423 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP's always here to stay. And as you hear, we have our very good friend, Andrew Hall. It's been a while, Andrew, I think, since you've been on. So how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's been since January since I've been on. You know, just living the dream over here in Ohio and Cincinnati. But yeah, good to be back. I know the we're going to talk about it, I'm sure, but the Expo is coming up this week, so I'm very excited for that. Yes. I know you and I will be seeing each other. Rocky, are you going to the Expo this week?
I am going to the Expo this week. I was
hoping to hear that. All right, yeah. So there we go.
Two years in a row now.
Yeah, a lot of addicts and junkies at the Expo. If you guys want to come hang out, Canton, Ohio.
Yes, we'll get into trunk beers because I want to have Andrew tell the origin story behind that and all that because I think it's a fun story. So, but before we get into that, not a ton of news, but we'll get into
the news.
And it starts with Kamara. We'll just burn through all of this and then we can kind of discuss it all. Kamara signs a restructured contract to stay with the Saints. It's going to be very incentive laden, but he's staying. Bucky said he'll be good to go for camp. Kyler versus McCarthy will go right to the start of the season per O'Connell. It's too long. Chris Bell is out on the active NFI list. As people remember, he had a knee injury coming out of college. So hopefully this is not some like 8-week thing, but I would imagine they're not going to rush him. And then I just put Cam Scatabo dot, dot, dot. Please stop doing that. I'm begging you. And then he doubled down and said, like, I'm like, people might think I'm brain dead and I don't care. So we'll get to Jeff Bell's tweet in a second, but because I want to go through that. I thought it was interesting. Andrew, any takeaways from the news real quick before?
Well, the Chris Bell one was interesting. I remember him having an injury, but I didn't hear anything. At least maybe I missed it. I didn't hear anything about it during the draft. And I'm like, you know, that's obviously going to be a concern. But if it was going to be a real concern, I feel like they would have mentioned it more. And again, maybe I just missed it. I only drafted him in a couple of leagues. And in most cases, you're drafting him in the third, fourth, you know, round. You're kind of seeing what you can get. I shouldn't say third, fourth. In some leagues, it fell that far. I think there were some that were you were taking him earlier. But for the most part, I was kind of shocked to hear some of that news. And I was like, oh, well, that's a bummer, but I get it. And then the other one is the Scatabo. It's just like he's not beating the allegations that he's an idiot. And I just I kind of here for it, though. Like, you know, you're not here for a long time. You're here for a good time. And he's just a fun dude, as weird and stupid as he is. He's a fun dude to pay attention to and a good distraction from real life. So, yeah, I mean, more power to you, Cam. Go do your thing. Go run into some walls. Sounds fun.
Yeah. Rocky.
The only thing I really have to add from the news is Kyler versus McCarthy will go right to the start of the season in air quotes to me. Like, I will bet anything in this world that Kyler is the starting quarterback week one.
Me too. But I don't like McCarthy taking reps from him this long so O'Connell can make him feel better. I need Kyler to have as many ones reps as he can get. So
I would agree with that. So,
so I remember, I think it was Front Yard Fantasy yesterday said, what would be the equivalent if Jackson Dart did the same thing Scatabo did? And based on his injury history, and since it was a bunch of concussions, I said he headbutts the video board, which is kind of the same. Like if Cam did the backflip and Dart just turned around and headbutted the video board and they're just like, we don't care. So I hope the Giants I hope Scatabo shows up healthy. And I know he said he's going to be, but as people were saying, Tyrone Tracy is still very cheap in redraft and dynasty. Maybe you should be thinking about that a little bit more, especially if you're a Scudabo owner. So I wanted to put Jeff Bell's tweet on this because I saw this morning and I thought the odds on some of these were interesting. So he said, who stands out on odds for 10 rushing touchdowns? And for those who aren't obviously looking at the show sheet, go look at his Twitter from like Tuesday morning. He posted it. But Andrew, just snap reaction. Is there anyone that calls out to you here as kind of crazy value, or you were surprised that he's negative money?
Well, I mean, something about 10 rushing touchdowns for Josh Allen seems odd to me. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's possible. I just didn't think he'd be that much of a favorite. I just,
and his teammate right below him.
Well, of course, James Cook, yeah. I kind of get, right? Like 10 is reasonable. I feel like even last year, there were some times where Josh Allen was running more than I thought he should have last year. And I feel like with the change of coach, there could be a lot of times that, you know, you don't get those opportunities anymore. So Josh Allen was the one that kind of popped to me when I first saw it. I don't think any of us know how the season's going to go and can predict that. But I think the one that's the most lucrative, or the one that I'm the most attracted to actually bet on, is Cam Scadabo, right? +300, +350. Like, I don't know. I feel like if anybody's going to be a long shot, he feels like the one of the easier long shots, as long as he stays healthy, which we have no idea about. But
yeah,
again, the Josh Allen being a favorite again, I don't know about that. That seems I would not be betting that.
Yeah. Rocky, any stand out to you?
I don't know if there's any that super stands. I do like Saquon Barkley's at +200, which is one of the highest on here. Yep. I do still think the offense will be good. They are obviously running a new offense, but I do think it'll be probably a little more run heavy again this year. And I do expect Saquon maybe bounces back a little bit. I think the offensive line, if they can stay healthy, will be better than last year. And if so, I think he easily gets 10 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. I'll say two. One was my response to Jeff this morning on Twitter was Kyren Williams being negative money with all the quorum fears that we have going on. Vegas usually is undefeated in knowing some of this stuff, and maybe there's whispers coming out of LA that it's not going to be as 50-50 as everyone thinks, because it might sound really easy to get 10 touchdowns in 17 games. That's not even one touchdown a game, but like, that's not a lot of people don't achieve that. And the fact that Kyren is -125 to do that tells me a lot about what Vegas is thinking. The other thing, I know he's got legal trouble, but as of right now, he's not there. Or as of right now, he has no issues. Josh Jacobs not being on this list at all, like even as a higher number, is surprising to me. So, Andrew, what are your takeaways from those two?
I mean, I think you're on the right track there. And that was going to be something else I wanted to bring up, was that Chase Brown isn't on this list. I think Chase Brown could get 10 touchdowns easy this year. And you're saying you're kind of based on this, I'm assuming this is all of the options, right? I don't know why you would skip or leave anyone out. But I think Chase Brown's got just as good a chance as Javonte Williams or James Cook to get 10 touchdowns. So, yeah, like your point about, you know, players missing, Josh Jacobs is a great pick for that too. Like, I know, again, like I know there are some question marks. He could miss some time, but as of right now, he's not, and he's got that job just like Chase Brown. Like, those are two guys that I wouldn't say surprised, but I was like, wait, where's Chase Brown? Like, why isn't he on this list?
Yeah. Rocky, anything to add? I know you are not the biggest Kyren lover, but does this make you feel any different about that, knowing Vegas likes him to score a bunch again?
It is interesting. Vegas often knows more than we do. I will say, I guess that it does. I don't think it's necessarily crazy, just because McVay tends to not do split backfields as much. And so I could see, it's just a matter of, I think, which guy is far more the lead. Like, I definitely think there's a chance Corum could take over more. But I do think he's kind of, it probably, given they're on a Super Bowl run, given Kyren has done it in the past for him, he probably will be the lead guy unless he shows he shouldn't be. That offense is going to score a ton too, which I think is probably a big factor in this, that they're just going to have a lot of touchdowns, period.
Yeah. This would tell me to worry about Davante Adams a little bit, because he had a lot of those like 1 yard in the corner touchdowns. So I don't know. Okay. Normally I have the guest aside, but there's only one trade, so we'll jump.
Trade addicts, trade.
And now we play the music.
The Brian.
Outhouse, trade of the week. Outhouse, trade of the week. We're going to talk about a trade addicts trade, whichever one Russ decides.
I'm so happy we have that music back in our lives. Shout out to Zach Reed for putting that together. Okay, so this one is TA6, and this was Russ and myself. So it's Travis, E.T. Chan, and Garrett Wilson for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I will gladly jump in on this. I think the Amon-Ra side is the one that I want. I think Garrett Wilson's one of those guys that I'm actually kind of – I feel like I'm higher than the consensus or the community on. I feel like I'm one of the last people on the Garrett Wilson train. But Travis E.T. Chan, I love that. Travis E.T. Chan is not enough of a needle mover for me to move Amon-Ra for those two, even as much as I like Garrett Wilson. I feel like I'd like more than that, please. I'd like a second or some other sweetener in there for Amon-Ra. So I don't know which side you got, but I'm voting for the Amon-Ra side personally.
Well, you're talking to one of the premier Travis E.T. Chan stands here, so I can tell you which side Frank got, plus I'm in that league. But I think I'm with Andrew. I don't think it's a bad trade.
No,
I'm saying, like, I'm just saying we're both agreeing that it's the Amon-Ra side, but I'm trying to say it. So to me, it's still not like it's obviously the Amon-Ra side.
No. It's not egregious. It's just not quite enough for me. That's all it is.
And I do love Garrett Wilson, too. I just wish he had a quarterback. And we still don't know when that's going to happen. So I have to go with the known of Amon-Ra. He's going to be elite. And like Andrew, I am not as sold on ETN as you are. I refuse to call him that A-chan or whatever the hell. But
I like ETN. It's kind of like a little bit of both. Like, you know you're doing it wrong and it's just fine. Like,
Which we've talked about.
It's the blending. We gotta
get to that. And we've talked about him plenty on previous episodes. I think you made another trade last week or 2 weeks ago with ETN too. So and I've given my thoughts on that. So I'm still iffy on him, and I'm iffy on Garrett Wilson. I think it's a fine trade. I just prefer Amon-Ra.
All right, so let me break this down. First off, it had been 73 days since we had done a trade in TA6.
Also notice this is our only trade on the sheet this week.
Which, in Trade Addicts, is a millennium.
Yeah.
And, by the way, there will definitely be a Trade Addicts trades coming out of the expo, because some, like, in-person trades always happen at this thing. So... I will say it this way. I will say half of this was for the content. It just was. And I had talked to Russ. My initial trade to him was Alec Pierce and Sutton for E.T. Chan, and he sent that back. Here's my thoughts on all this. One, I think Garrett Wilson, it can't be any worse than he's had. I think Geno is about as good of a QB as he has had in his career. ETN, E.T. Chan, whatever, is going to be in a top 12 offense, I'm going to say, kind of right now. And maybe that's my bold take this year, is the Saints are going to be awesome, and maybe that's not a bold take. And that will say, and by the way, E.T. Chan is another one I'm surprised isn't on that list of running backs who are going to score 10 touchdowns. Maybe Kamara is going to be a thorn in my side, but I will take the guy who is going to be a running back under Kellen Moore, who has always had good running backs in his system. He's made a lot of people look good who are not very good. He made Tony Pollard look like a guy who was worth getting a bunch of money from Tennessee. He gave Saquon Barkley 2,000 yards. He can fix E.T. Chan a little bit. And I think the only thing that would scare me about Amon-Ra, and I understand top five, I agree with everybody. If I were to make a devil's advocate case against Amon-Ra, Gibbs is going to get his. Jameson's going to get his. Laporta is, I didn't put him in the news, but he's fully back, ready for camp. Goff doesn't throw it 50 times a game. He doesn't, he's, Amon-Ra's not going to have double digit targets every game. And that hasn't stopped him in the past, but there have been times, especially I think it was two seasons ago through like halfway through the season, where people are scared of Amon-Ra because he's not getting the targets that everyone thinks he should have. That would be my only devil's advocate case. Again, it's probably the Amon-Ra side, but I was fine breaking the pieces apart because someone has to knock J. Mike off that perch. And I don't know. I'm hoping it's me, but because I think I'm running back a decent team this year. But I would say that would be the only reason I did it. And I think Garrett Wilson can be top, you know, eight upside if he's anything. And you know, maybe I'll turn him and sell him for something else down the line after I've earned that profit. So that was kind of my thinking on it. But okay. Well, we can go to the listener questions now.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Thank you, Arnold. We start with Trade Addict Superfan. How do you think about players you can buy very low? Let's call them for third round picks. He asked this a different way, but we've already kind of discussed it that way. So I wanted to kind of go down the list and think about, like, you know, outside the top 100, maybe, like, who could we look into? And if you guys need a second, I can go first. But if Andrew, if you have one, go ahead.
I got a couple that I tend to find myself being attracted to, I guess, or kind of like looking at when I'm trying to build a trade and looking to add a piece. Like there's a really weird thing going on in Arizona right now in their backfield, where they have, you know, five running backs that could be RB2 worthy, right? I mean, Jeremiah Love, I believe we all think is the standard, is going to be the guy, is going to be the RB1, the stud, all this. But after him, it gets murky, I guess, at best, because you've got Tyler Algier is there now, right? James mm-hmm. Conner, Trey Benson, and then Bam Knight, who actually didn't look bad last year. So I'm always looking to add one of those guys. Like, just let me put a lottery ticket in my back pocket, and if I can get a really cheap Trey Benson on a trade, mm-hmm. or a really cheap James Conner in a trade, because again, it's dynasty and nobody likes these guys. So those are kind of the same kind of players you're talking about, like a third round pick. You know, they're not droppable. You're not. I don't know if I've seen Trey Benson dropped even in shallower leagues, because it's like there's that sunk cost fallacy. Like, I just spend the 108 on him. Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like, there are people that have had him this whole time and are not getting rid of him yet just because they thought he was going to be something. I know a buddy of mine in a home league, he's like, no, he's going to die on my roster. I'm like, all right, man. And again, I get it. But to me, it's like, that's who I want. It's like one of those late lottery tickets that could end up being flex worthy in week 8 when you're in buys. You know, like, that's somebody that I'm looking to add and get some depth. And I think that's kind of the thesis of the question, is like, who can I get instead of a third round, which could actually help my team? And so, yeah, I usually look at backup running backs in general, but Arizona specifically is like the one that I just zoom into. Like, well, do they have any Arizona running backs? I'll try to get one of them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Rocky?
Yeah, I'm looking at the ADP while you guys were talking, and I think it probably starts more around 150, yeah, when you start to try to get a third round pick.
Yeah.
Running back is also kind of what sticks out to me. You mentioned one earlier, Tyrone Tracy. It might not be a bad option, but two others I was looking at were Rashad White with a very uncertain Washington backfield. I'm not a big believer in Bill, and I don't think they have much else there.
Tre'Quan Allen, they have the Penn State guy.
Yeah, but I mean, he was drafted day two.
Yeah, fifth round, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not, you know, expecting him Jerome to necessarily Ford come too, and take over the – oh, wow. If they have Jerome Ford, forget it. But, yeah.
Well, Jerome Ford's more of a third-round pick, right? That's like an easy throw-in if you're really into that offense. But, yeah.
And sure. White can catch some passes out of the backfield too. And then the other guy I was looking at, even lower, is Chris Rodriguez in Jacksonville.
There you go.
Yeah, I just feel like – you know, Tootin was the sexy name earlier in the non-point scoring season, but they did bring Chris Rodriguez in. I believe the coach or the offensive coordinator, somebody had him in the past under the
Ian Cohen did, yeah.
Yeah.
At Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's a guy that's familiar with the coach, with probably with his system, and he probably specifically brought him in for that reason. So and there's no major, like, I'm sure he's not going to have a workhorse workload, but he's definitely, there's no one is there. So,
mm-hmm. Well, speaking of no one is there, another player that I used to target a lot that I think is even more slept on this year is Jalen Wright. The Miami Dolphins offense is, pardon my French, dog now. Like that mm-hmm. offense is just Malik Willis, Devon Achane, the actual Achane. But then their best running or best receiver for fantasy at the moment is Malik Washington. And Chris Bell, who we just mentioned, is hurt, may not even see the start of the season. And you've got Caleb Douglas, Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell. Like, this is the graveyard of players that don't matter. And I just think that you're probably better off. I mean, if you like late receivers instead of running backs, go for it. But I almost always like third rounds for running backs because they just have a higher and quicker chance to pay off. But Jalen Wright and Ollie Gordon both are the only people behind Achane, and they don't have anyone else on the field. I could mm-hmm. totally see them running those guys out of the slot or out of the backfield with two backs. So like that's someone else I'm trying to get still is Jalen Wright. I just loved some of what I saw. And then Ollie Gordon, again, was a rookie, got a little bit of attention, but on that offense, someone's going to need it. And those are the offenses I'm targeting in general for third rounds. Just to give me something. Maybe something happens.
I will be so fascinated, and Roman, I'll get to yours in a second, on how willing Miami is going to be to hold Achane. Yes, yeah. Like, you know,
they shouldn't.
Let's say
they're on a true rebuild.
Trying to come up with a crazy one, like Derrick Henry gets hurt and the Ravens are making a push and Achane's like the piece. And like, or you know, picks something along those lines, right? Where someone needs a running back and they're the running back away. I don't think Miami's just going to say, no, we just extended him. He's our future running back. Like, they have other pieces. And so I like both Wright and Ollie Gordon. My name is actually, I have one rookie. I'm all the way in on Zachariah Branch as a wide receiver too.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta. And yep. We talked about him last week, and it's going to be
drafted
hard.
Him in my Scott Fishbowl draft after we
did talked you? About him. Yeah, last I did in the too. 18th yeah. round. All of us did. I think Ronnie did too. So I think he's going to be a fun piece because there's just nothing else in Atlanta. Jalen McMillan. We have, and maybe I'm listening to Joey Wright and other Bucks fans a little too much, but like Godwin is not part of this future that the Bucks are building. He's on the older end. I know that's crazy to say about like a 29-year-old, but he's been through a lot. And McMillan is someone we kind of just threw off to the side after he got hurt last year, and he could come right back in and be across from Abuka and be just fine. And the last one, and you could probably get him for free. He might have been dropped. Give me Keon Coleman one more time. Yeah. One last shot.
Because one more ride around the block.
If it's not here with Moore and Shakir and others taking the heat off of him being like the number one guy, he could be kind of a fun Gabe Davis-esque player for them. I know he's not the same skill set, but you know, that type of player in the offense. And then Roman said Dulcich. A lot of people are on Dulcich right now, and it's he's been one that like everyone has had as like their sleeper, and I'm mm-hmm. totally scared he's gonna do nothing. But yes, I think that's interesting. And then he said Malachi Fields for the Giants, and I like that. The only thing that scares me about Malachi Fields, because I don't think Neighbors is coming back anytime quickly, I don't think they're going to rush him back, is Mooney's there, Slayton's there, and wouldn't it just be so Matt Nagy to like play Mooney and Slayton over Malachi Fields, the big guy that is fun and interesting, and you know, I think I like him as a pick though. And then my very last one is I've said him a bunch and I've taken him in a bunch of best balls is Pacheco. I'm not off him either.
I looked at him too. One of the names I wanted to, sorry, you go, 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 go.
Go. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to let you talk about Pacheco because I was going to throw out.
Okay. I think Campbell likes him as a kind of a Montgomery-esque guy. He doesn't run the same as Montgomery, but he can absolutely, you know, get you third and two and stuff like that, and maybe steal some stuff from Gibbs in the goal line. But if Gibbs goes down, Pacheco's a top 10 running back week to week.
Yes.
Easily. And I'm saying that so people don't scream at me when I call him top five. Like, I think he's top 10 week to week. And I think that's worth trading a third for, because I think people would give him away for a third, because I don't think anyone believes in Pacheco. So go ahead, Recky.
The other name I was looking at.
Well, you might have some people that are in on him like you are. They wouldn't, but yeah.
And it may sound crazy. And we don't normally talk about quarterbacks when we're talking about for a third round pick. But he's below, I think, everyone we've talked about on the DLF ADP. Deshaun Watson is likely going to be the starting quarterback.
Yes.
He's got Fannin. He's got two highly drafted wide receivers. He's got Judkins if he comes back healthy. If you're talking about a third round pick for a starting quarterback with a lot of young talent, it's not necessarily a bad thing to throw out there. Like, you're not giving up much for it, and it could have some dividends. I'm not saying not touting that Deshaun Watson's going to be a QB1 or something, but if you can get him that cheap, and like I said, the fact that he's 201 on here implies that maybe you can. You could have a solid QB2/3 potentially.
Rank the following three, because they're all right next to each other on the rankings I'm looking at. Deshaun Watson, Geno Smith, Aaron Rodgers.
In Dynasty?
Ooh. Yeah. They're all kind of the same.
I hate to say it. Yeah, I think I put Geno Smith first, though. I feel like he's got the most upside. Because he might still play another season, and I think the Jets are just a slightly better team right now than the Steelers. But Watson's third. But again, those are all gross. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I don't. Can I? I'd like to pass, please. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But yeah, I think I go Smith a little ahead. Yeah.
Assuming Watson is the starting quarterback, I think I go in the order you put them in.
Watson.
Smith,
Geno Rodgers.
Yeah,
that's the order it's on this sheet. And the one ahead of them is Tua.
Even though he's not guaranteed a starting job, I have him a Tua kind of above those guys. Yeah, but I'm also a Tua stan. So
yeah.
Well, Rocky, we have a trade out. I believe I sent you a trade.
Uh-oh. Live trade.
Well, I'm just saying. You brought up Tua.
I forget what was the trade? I have to go look again now.
It's okay. I know it was something you sent me today, which I thought was...
Yeah, I remember.
For the content was my idea. I didn't like what you sent me, but I sent a counter.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
If you wanted to talk about it live, we could kind of try to... I didn't want to bring it up during the trades because it's not a trade yet. But
come on, Rocky, for the content. You
mentioned me too. I was like...
sure, we can talk about it. Maybe we get Frank's opinion. Tua straight up for Mike. Tua, well, yeah. I think he kind of knows now, but Tua is straight up for Michael Pittman.
Huh. So I'm not as high on Pittman as everyone else. I think everyone's automatically putting him as the wide receiver one in Pittsburgh. And I think DK's just too good to be ignored 2 years in a row. It's weird because it's a quarterback for a non-quarterback trade, which Rocky is like the cardinal sin is doing that. I would probably take Tua only because the upside is just so much higher. And if he's the QB for 17 games in Stefanski's offense,
that's a steal.
Andrew clearly doesn't like Tua.
Well, no, but I mean, like, you're right. That's a terrific point. Like, if he's a quarterback for a solid chunk of the season, that's a great deal right there.
You're selling it hard. I'm
agreeing with your amazing take, Frank. I don't know what you're talking about.
I would probably do Tua, but I don't love it.
for the sake of argument, because you mentioned some of these guys too, the context I think is entertaining. Rockies quarterbacks are Kyler Murray and Kirk Cousins, such a Rocky twist of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And then my quarterbacks are Dak Prescott, Geno Smith, and Aaron Rodgers. So, like, you know, we're all kind of dealing in the muck. You know what I mean?
But Rocky gets to complete the Trinity, though, if he adds Tua.
Okay, it's done.
Yeah.
Hey, I now have a roster with Kyler Show and Kirk Cousins. It's the most Rocky roster ever.
That's what I'm saying. And
you need to add Javonte, yeah. And we're fully there.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is not he's just hanging around there. I was trolling. I was looking around for a quarterback earlier. That's why I sent Andrew a trade. I forget what the initial trade was for
two. It was Dobbins and Godwin, and that didn't wow me. I wasn't a huge fan of that one, but I was like, I like Pittman more. Maybe I'm higher on Pittman than most. I'm one of those people that does think that he is going to be the guy over the husk of DK Metcalf that is still currently there. But I think the other part of this too, though, is I'm getting rid of Tua in a murky situation and picking up Pittman in a murky situation. Like, it's just, it's mess for mess, which is my favorite kind of trade. There's no winning at the moment. It's just like, it's all vibes.
Yeah. And if I felt strong, like more certain that Tua was the starting quarterback, I probably would have accepted it even before the show. I'm just worried that Penix gets the nod. And at least initially I have faith that Penix will fail and Tua will come in anyway, but yeah.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Frank, for helping us out with that. That's perfect. Good for the content. Yeah.
Is Tua younger than Penix? I'm now just trying to think. No, he's 2 years older. Okay, because I knew Penix was older
by a couple.
Yeah. Okay. Is Bryce Young someone we just threw away in the trash pile too fast? Because he's like kind of down on this list with everyone else, and they added more weapons for him. I know Ikem Ekwonu might not play or whatever because he's got a bunch of issues, but. Did we put Bryce Young on the trash pile too fast?
I had a lot of Bryce Young going into last season, and now I have none. Like, I think I had 3 or 4 shares I traded last year for players, like, to teams that needed a quarterback. And in each case, I felt like I was getting good value. And now I'm like, oh, man, now I'm all out. Like, I think I could have gotten more value. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you could, if things go right, I think Tet's going to be great. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's some chance that team turns around. I don't know if he belongs on the trash pile per se, but I don't mind Bryce Young. I think he's got some talent left. He's in that same pile, like you were saying, with Geno Smith and Jacoby Brissett and Kirk Cousins, you know, like, and all kind of Malik Willis, you know, like Cam Ward, like these quarterbacks, you're just like, ugh, I don't want to start them. But I think Bryce Young is probably better than all of those. I think I'd rather have Bryce than everybody I just mentioned. So maybe you're right.
This is just a random thought as I'm looking at the ADP that I guess really ADP does not equal trade value sometimes, because Stafford is below Bryce Young, even if you're not contending.
I know. He's
trading Stafford straight up for Bryce Young.
It's because he has like a year left, I feel like.
Yeah, I know. That's why. Because they're so much older. But even if I'm not contending, I'm trying to get something else rather than Bryce Young, I guess, for Stafford. I don't think I would do that straight up.
Yeah. That's just age. That's an age thing. But yeah, I think there are people, and I'm one of them, who says if the Rams win, Stafford's done. And
yeah,
they'll just ride
off. He is 38.
Yeah. I don't think he has 3 MVP seasons left. I think he has like 1 or 2, maybe. So I don't know. We'll have to see. Okay. From Jason. I was even practicing this. Jason Nonaka. Dubby's got it. Social. Do you do team building as an all or nothing with stars and scrubs, sell it to win in a competitive window? Thinking I'm in year 12 in my main dynasty league and have 1-3, been in the Shiva Bowl 5 times. I'm saying Shiva Bowl. Never had the top scoring team, been always following and always in the mix approach with depth. Is that small sample talking, or do you think sustained aiming for the top 4 team thinking is a better model overall in the long term?
Well, I'll kind of jump in here. And one of my favorite things to do on teams that I don't like, or like teams that I just feel like are middling, is obviously trading for picks and all of that, but just consolidate and make your weekly decisions easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you have stars and studs, you know, or studs and duds, I'm sorry, stars and scrubs. If you have something like that, it makes your 10 roster decisions easy. You're like, oh, well, here's the 8 that I like. And then 2 random picks. The thing that I like about depth, though, is obviously you get to have some of those choices, but make the choices easier for you. If you don't like the team, you know, consolidate. Go get some more studs. I also think if you're not doing well, if you're, you know, middling again, like, and not doing great, go for studs and see how that goes. Like, it's just change. You know, if you've got studs and are middling, then break them up. Try that. Like, I don't think there's a right answer. Everything is so nuanced and league dependent, but I like consolidating on teams or leagues that I don't like just to help me make Sundays easier. Like, oh, okay, here we go. Now I go. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to lean more towards, I guess, the way this guy is doing it myself. I think it's more just personal preference. But, like, even when we say depth, I mean, I'm like, nobody's going, like, 20 players deep. It more just means I have, like, maybe four or five guys I'm not starting that I feel confident starting instead of the 10 or 11.
Well, like, for guys. You know, yeah, you don't need 10 players on your bench that could be in your lineup. That doesn't help anybody.
Exactly.
Consolidate that.
Exactly.
Right? Have eight studs, eight players you click yes on every week, and then, like, have a roster, like a medium roster, middle roster of like four to five guys you can cycle through, and you're good to go. That's really all you need for starters. If you have more than that, you have too many.
I'd agree with that.
The important takeaway.
You really don't want to leave value on your bench. That's the whole point. You want the value to be in your lineup.
The important thing I would take away from that, though, that Andrew just said, and I want to hammer home, is, like, have medium behind you. Do not have, like, Chris Brazel as your only wide receiver behind your eight studs. Like, you need some point scorers.
Well, and that's where, again, consolidate up to medium then, right? Like, if you've got a big gap, if you're looking at ADP, there was actually, this was a few years ago, I did this study just on my own teams just to see how they were. And I was kind of going old school with it. And I put them, you know, found the ADP of everybody on my roster that was really just, I couldn't figure out what to do with it. And the league doesn't trade that much. So I put all of them in the ADP, and I had, like, I think it was 10 guys in the top 100 and then nobody from 1 to 200, like, not a single player. And I was like, ah, that's my gap. That's the issue, is I don't have anybody in that middle that I can, like, lean on in a pinch. So I started consolidating. I actually did one breakup trade and then, like, a bunch of little consolidate trades to make it more even. And that's the thing I think maybe people don't think of depth like that. Depth isn't just quantity, it's quality too. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have quality depth. You can't just have guys on your roster. You know, like, I mean, you can, but I mean, then you end up getting guys on your roster like J.K. Dobbins or Adam Randall or like, who was the other one we were just talking about? Jalen Royals. You know, you're like, do I really want to start Jalen Royals? Never. Like, no, I really don't. You know, Andre Yoshivas. Yeah, sure. Like, I don't want to start those guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's just terrifying.
Yeah.
So, like, trade a couple of those together. I've even done trades too where I'm like, I don't like any of these bench players. I just have too many. Trade them for seconds. Like, get two together for a second.
Yeah.
And just start to, like, put your roster together that way. I think something else, since we're talking trading anyway, trading it for a second doesn't mean it has to stay a second, right? Mm-hmm. That's like a buddy of mine used to say he would sell his car and then take that money and buy a new car. I'm like, why don't you just go trade it in? He goes, well, I get a better deal selling it on the open market. Then I just take that cash I just got and get a better deal at the dealership. I'm like, oh, that's a good point. It's more work, right? But if you're really a trade addict, well, this isn't work. It's fun. So go do that. You know, it's still July. You got tons of time to worry about your lineup. Yes. Just go consolidate assets where you can.
Yes. You're not setting lineups in July. Also, Andrew putting J.K. Dobbins in that pile next to Jalen Royals might be fighting words with Rob.
Listen, I'm not trying to be rude here. I'm just saying Dobbins no longer wows me. You know what I mean? Like, he's not what he used to be. I loved Dobbins back in the day, but not there anymore.
He was very good last year when healthy. Sorry.
Rocky's holding that.
When healthy is carrying a lot of weight there, but I agree with you. Yeah.
Yes, Rocky's holding that shield against the oncoming army of RJ Harvey and Jonah Coleman lovers.
I was just saying, they drafted Coleman. To me, that was the death knell. I know a lot of people still like Dobbins, but I think it's Harvey and Coleman. And we're going to see Dobbins fighting with Jalen McLeal. Was it McLeal? What's his name?
Jaleel McLaughlin. Yeah.
Jaleel McLaughlin. I always get that thrown up. But, like, I think it's going to be him fighting for third down work here and there. Like, that's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just doesn't wow me.
Okay. Going to Dynasty Studs questions with Andrew on, got to get the Bengals questions in. So where does Burrow rank among QBs for you? Who are the guys ahead of him for you? Lamar is a really interesting debate for me. And if you had to tear up or down slightly with him, which are you choosing and for whom ideally? Andrew, take it away.
I think the Bengals fan in me has him at 2 behind Allen and that's it. But I don't think that's reasonable. That's not the fantasy fan. I probably put May ahead of him at the moment. I probably put Daniels ahead of him at the moment. I really like what Daniels is doing in terms of dynasty too and value. Him and Lamar and Caleb are all kind of in the same tier, like that second or third tier, however you want to put it. So it's like, you know, there's four, I would say there's like three solid options, one, two, three, and then four, five, six are kind of all over the place. But Burrow's right there with Lamar. I get it. Burrow's right there, to me, right there with Caleb Williams, because I think he's going to take a big step up this year. I know people have, you know, Jackson Dart and Trevor Lawrence and these guys kind of ascending, but they're not up there yet. So like, I don't think, and again, I say ascending for Trevor Lawrence, like he's come all over the place, but I feel like he's coming back up.
He's 36 and he feels like he's 36.
I know. I just feel like he's as old as Burrow. We were in the same draft class. But again, I do think Burrow has that classic will they or won't they in terms of him and an injury. Like, will he or won't he? Like, is it just, there's always, and he's not injury prone. He's just very unlucky. His injuries have been one-offs. And they're not the kind of injuries that tend to rehab or tend to happen again after rehab. So it's like, I think Burrow deserves to be four. I could see that making sense. But if you catch me on the right day and talk me up on Lamar and Caleb, I could see him being at six. But that's kind of the range for me anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm with Andrew. I'd have him at four. I'd have Allen, Lamar, and May ahead of him. I'm not ready to put Caleb. I've been preaching.
Rocky's like, scared of Daniels.
Yes, I've been preaching hesitation on Daniels.
Isn't it weird, though, that we're talking hesitation at four? It feels like just last year, the year before, hesitations didn't come into like 10 or 12. Like, there were so many guys that you're just like, oh, we're good. Top 10 is locked. And now
I just think people are overvaluing him way too much, like that he's even in this discussion top. Like, I get the upside, but
I also think
we just saw the downside, too.
This question is a little bit weighted because it's like, where would I put them? But where I would put them is where the community would put them, because I tend to value things based on what I can get as opposed to what I think. And that's kind of where I was like, if you want me to say, where do I value the player? He's second. I would only have Josh Allen instead of Burrow on my rosters. Yep. But the community doesn't see it that way. And I can get more for Burrow in some cases and less in others. And it's kind of like it's all over the map. If I can trade Burrow straight up for Daniels or May, I'm probably doing that. But I don't know if that gets done because I don't think a lot of people value him above those guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's where if it depends what side gets the extra piece. So, yeah, I mean, as much as I love Burrow and obviously Chase and Higgins and Chase Brown and, like, the team is coming back again. Everybody's back for the first time. And I want to say it was, like, 8 years we get the same starting offensive line. We really revamped the defense. You know, like maybe this is the year, as we always say, and it never works out. So, like, I don't know. It could be fun.
Yeah. By the way, Rocky Football Guys clearly listens to the show because they flipped Mahomes and Lawrence in the rankings. Lawrence was ahead of Mahomes. So let's talk tier downs then real quick.
Yeah.
Because I think tier ups are pretty easy, right? Like, they're a first apart, all of them, the whatever tiers you want to put them in. I think Allen and Burrow, anything more than a first apart is, and I don't even know if it's a 27 first. But let's go down. So I think you could tier down to Mahomes, who we talked about last week, and I think people are putting on a much lower scale despite him being Patrick Mahomes, and maybe I'm falling for the name, but I mean, would you take Mahomes in a 27 first for Burrow?
In the right league, yeah. I think especially if it's a one QB league or someone where, you know, I'm rebuilding and need that first, or I'm not really as contending as I like. The other thing I find myself doing is it takes a lot for me to trade guys like Burrow and Chase because I'm a Bengals fan. And so sometimes I find myself overcompensating and like letting them go for too little. Cause I'm like, no, man, I'm overthinking it. Like and then I look at the trade later. I'm like, oh, I underthought it. Damn it. And I hate Mahomes, right? Cause I'm a Bengals fan. Like, I can't stand Mahomes. I just can't stand that frog guy. So I would probably do a different player than Mahomes. I'd probably aim for like Hurts or Herbert, something in that range though. And that same kind of a thing. I think both Hurts and Herbert both have similar upside to Burrow, but a much lower downside. Mm-hmm. And to me, if I'm getting that, if I'm adding that kind of risk, if I'm adding that kind of variance, a first helps me feel comfortable with adding that risk. So I think you're on the right track with that being the trade, or a player equivalent to that. Like, if I'm really light at running back, which a lot of my leagues are, I'm really, I I tend to save running back for closer to the season, like, because there's just so much chaos that goes on. So I tend to put my assets in more mutual funds in the off season than the receivers that I feel like will stick around and not lose a lot of value. But yeah, I mean, if I'm getting closer to the beginning of the season, which we're coming up to here in a month or so, and I'm looking at my roster and I've got, you know, Javonte Williams is my only running back of value, I'm like, okay, maybe I should tear down from Burrow to a Mahomes or a Herbert, see what kind of running back I can add in that to make it more start worthy. Because again, I want to make sure I've got, what, like we said before, like 8 solid starters if I have to start 10 or whatever. Like, I want to make sure I've got enough players and assets and chess pieces on the board so I'm not forced to start like Kenneth Gainwell as my RB2. You know what I mean? Like, that, those are brutal Sunday decisions where I'm like, this is a flex decision and I'm in my RB2 slot. Like, I don't like that feeling. So yeah, sometimes I'll do things like that. It just depends on how your roster is built.
Where would the player X and a first stop? So Herbert and Hurts are 7 and 8, which Andrew just said that finishes that tier that Andrew just said with the other 6 we've already talked about. Mahomes, Lawrence, Dart, and Purdy are the next 4.
I was thinking Dart, but I don't think it's enough. I was thinking Lawrence, but I mean, Lawrence maybe, but that's still, I think that's the tier. I think that's kind of where I'm at. I need
to see him do it again. I'm kind of with you on Lawrence.
Yeah, and I think Jacksonville as a whole is just a crapshoot. Like, we don't know what we're going to get. Like, with Brian Thomas, is he going to be a thing? Is he going to be a stud? Like, I kind of want my if I'm tearing out of Burrow, I'd love to go to a team that can give you a stud like Ladd McConkey or Devonta Smith on those other guys we mentioned. You know, like, I want to make sure they've got somebody they can lean on. And I think Mekhi Lemon could be the 1A at the end of the season. We don't know. But I like their receiving options better than I like at the moment anyway, than I like Dart with Neighbors, as you mentioned, possibly being hurt. And then you got, you know, Slayton and Mooney. Like, oh, God, like, I don't want anything to do with that. So that, to me, adds to the variability and the risk. And I'm not looking for that. If you catch me on the right day after enough, fun beverages, I might say yes to that, but it's unlikely.
Saturday at 4 o'clock in the Canton parking lot.
Andrew, you know me well, Frank. That's exactly right.
Rocky, what didn't Sirianni say something really good about your OC this week? Didn't they say he liked him or something is going well with them and Hurts? Or did I hear that? Maybe I didn't. But
if you did, I missed it.
Okay. I thought he was talking up Mannion and how well he's doing with the offense and all that. So that made me a little happy. But my opinion on the Eagles, and it has been all season or all non-point scoring season, is it can't be worse.
They are very high on Mannion, though. Like, he's very talked up here in general. Yeah,
it cannot be worse than last year.
I'm curious where you're at on the two guys below that. I'm looking, both finished top 9 per game, although one was hurt a lot of last year.
Who is it?
Nix and Purdy.
Nix is intriguing.
I know.
I will say that.
Purdy was 2 in points per game in trade.
I know.
He just missed like 8
games. And his wide receiver core almost got better.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, again, his finish of the Purdy's finish of the season in the playoffs, QB4, QB1, QB1.
Yeah.
Like, Purdy won you a league. If you had Purdy and you were in the playoffs, you probably did well. And so I think his ranking on Fantasy Pros right now is 12 with ECR and Dynasty. And I think that sounds about right. But then you got Nix at 13 and Prescott at 14 and Love at 15. Like, all of these guys are good but not great. And, like, they all have warts that are not – you know, something you want, but I think Purdy is kind of getting slept on as much as Nix too. Like, just somebody that can win you a league and no one's talking about him.
Purdy, you said good, not but not great. And it's funny because coming from me, like going back years now from where I was with Purdy, but for fantasy, he's just produced time and time and time again.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. And I think he is being a little forgotten because he missed so much of last year.
What's like the opposite effect of Mahomes? Mahomes has that name recognition that people just know him, and he was the number one quarterback in the NFL, maybe not in fantasy. And it's like you give him a little boost because of the name. With Purdy, you're like, oh, he's Mr. Irrelevant. Like, he doesn't matter at all. He's never going to do this. And
he's the least sexy quarterback. He is. Yeah. It's just like – it's just – because in theory, right – let's go back to Atlanta, right? Like, Matt Ryan was like, if you had Shanahan's quarterback, you were a god. Like,
you're not bad. That's for sure. You're in the running. Yeah.
And we propped up Trey Lance and we propped up guy B and all these other people who were going to knock Purdy off, and Purdy keeps showing up, and I'm not scared of Mac Jones. I'm not. It was, he had a great year. He's not better than Purdy. No. I know people are like, oh, if Purdy stinks, Mac will take his job. No, he won't. But like, he's 26 and he's Shanahan's quarterback for as long as Shanahan decides to be there. He has Evans now. He has Stribling, who people are now gushing over the last week or so. I saw there was a story like the Rams were about to take him before the Niners did. Pearsall, who knows? And Kittle, who knows, right? Like, Kittle could be back anytime now. It sounds like he's ready for week one, but you have to, you know, let's see him run in a straight line first. Like, I would put Purdy over Dart, and, you know, I would probably put him over Lawrence after having this discussion, but I'm not sure he's in that tier of Mahomes, Hurts, Herbert, Caleb. I'd
agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't think a first plus Purdy gets you Burrow. I think you could get more, though. You could, if you wanted to trade Burrow for Purdy, throw two firsts on there and see what the guy says or the player says. There's wonderful female players in fantasy.
That's true. That's true.
I think Purdy's a fun one. And I think he's just like so perfectly the bottom tier of QB1 guy. Like, he just looks like it, dude. Just
he's
like
the epitome of that. Yeah.
Guy. Yeah. This team, Roman, clarify that. Who is your favorite tight end outside the dynasty top 20 with the best chance of scoring as a tight end one this season?
I'll go. I got one.
Do it.
Travis Kelce. He's married now. All that weight is off his shoulders. The planning is over. Now he can just be the dude bro with the beer on a Saturday. And I think, I mean, again, say what you want about Mahomes. We were just talking about him, but like, that team is going to need some help. And I don't, why can't Kelce do it again? Like, I don't know. It seems like just as likely as anything else.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I'm not adding him on purpose. I've got a lot of shares and I've added him over the last year or so, but right now, at least on ECR, he's tight end 21, which feels ridiculously low. And if you're talking about, especially a tight end where there's so much variability, and it doesn't take much to be the tight end 12. I think Kelce could easily be a tight end one.
I always use DLF. I don't have ECR up. And yeah. He's just inside the top 20, so that's not a name I was thinking of, but I agree.
That's fine.
Tight end 25 is Hunter Henry on here.
Mr. Week One himself.
I think, extremely underrated. I think Ronnie was talking about him last week, that A.J. Brown could actually, like, even help him. Like, just pull more attention away from him in the red zone. Even if he's not, like, a super, like, catching 70 balls kind of guy, he could end up with a bunch of touchdowns in that offense this year.
Well, and if Drake May is going to be QB 2 or 3, like we're talking about, he's got to throw to someone, right? And it can't all be A.J. Brown. And after A.J. Brown, they got Romeo Dubs, Kayshon Booty, Kyle Williams. Like, it gets bleak quick. So if May is going to be the producer we expect, he's going to need to give it to someone. And, why not Hunter Henry?
I don't want to steal necessarily if Frank's going to come up with a name, but I don't know if Frank likes this guy anyway. And one other guy that's just outside the top 20 that I like a lot is Chigakonkwo with Washington. If Daniels bounces back, there's not a ton of options for him to be throwing to either outside of McLaurin. And he's shown a propensity with Ertz to throw to the tight end a lot in the past. So he's another name I like that's that low.
I understand what Roman was asking now. Is this team, if the Niners were 3 years younger, is Purdy more appealing than QB12? If we know he has Evans for 3 more years,
I think it is.
Yes. Or McCaffrey for 3 more years.
I think that's a very valid question. I thought that's what he was saying on the first one. Then the explanation, like the same team, but all the players are younger. That helps Purdy's value because it's not quite as chaos bomb coming up. So I hear you. Yeah, I agree.
I think that's a good point. I'm going to say AJ Barner because he's kind of the big red zone guy for Seattle, and JSN can't do it all. guys. He just can't. I know Shahid's there and Cup's there, but I kind of like Barnard, who's, you know, coming into his third year, and I know everyone's waiting for the rookies to break out in their first year now. Third-year breakouts are still a thing.
Especially
AJ Barner is only 24 years old. And I think the new OC for Seattle is coming from San Francisco, who clearly likes to use their tight ends. So in a world of tight end doesn't matter, where, you know, 10 to 20, it can all score the same dang thing, I will take Barner at 23 and be just as happy with anyone who, and he could easily be a tight end one if he catches 8 to 10 touchdowns. Goddard showed he did that last year. Goddard did nothing but catch touchdowns. So he's at 20. I'm out on Goddard. I think that was a total fluke and he won't do that a second time, but maybe he could prove me wrong. Rocky, I like your Okonkwo thing. I think there are some people who are way too high on him. I've seen a redraft ranking where he was 5.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I like him, but
there are people who are way too high.
Yeah.
So, like, I think he will be harder to acquire from people who already have him, because I think people are like, I waited this long to get him. So, okay. Training camp battles. Which training camp battles are you watching most closely for fantasy? And who do you
want to say it again? Tua and Penix.
Yep.
Kyler and JJ.
Definitely, I'm watching that one now.
Kyler and JJ. But I mean, like, yeah. But again, like Tua and Penix, both lefties. They're both question marks.
Yeah.
That's the one that really is going to hinder Drake London the most. If it's a bad job, whoever wins the job doesn't deserve it. I also think there's a world where, you know, somebody wins the job and then by week 5 they lose the job. So like it's just there's chaos all over the place. But that's probably the one that just sticks out in my head as like the most quote unquote impactful, right? Because it's a quarterback and the whole team kind of hinges on that. And we've seen Tua really struggle, and he gets one concussion in week 4. Is he retiring? Like there's just so many question marks, you know? So I think that the Atlanta offense as a whole is kind of a fun little experiment this year, you know?
Rocky, do you want me to go?
I mean, I don't really know that anything's sticking out to me other than those quarterback battles.
A bunch of running back battles.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh has one. I think Denver has one. I think Washington has one.
New Orleans. We just talked about Etienne, but then Kamara getting re-signed. Does that matter? Is that going to change anything?
I guess it's also that other than quarterback battles, I'm not sure I put a lot of stock in what happens in training camp or even preseason games.
I'm kind of the same, honestly. Like it's hard to really put your finger on the pulse of what's going on, because they'll play a guy for one series and play the other guy the next series and just alternate for the fun, you know, because they don't care. What do we learn from that? Like, I don't know. Do they really like him? The guy played better. Well, yeah, he was playing against second stringers instead of first. Like, it's just there's always caveats and ways out. So it just gets messy. Quarterback is a little different. You kind of get the idea with quarterback. Like, oh, does he have it? Does Tua have it back? Did Penix ever have it? Like, those are questions I'm curious about.
Okay, fair. So I'll do the non-running back battle category. I want to know who the wide receiver 2 in Philadelphia is going to be. If it's Wicks or Lemon or Hollywood Brown, God bless him, or Elijah Moore or whatever other scrap pile guys they got. I think it's really Wicks versus Lemon. And then the other one I need Jacksonville to figure out what the heck they're doing at receiver. Because I'm not loving how much. Yeah. Like
is Travis Hunter a thing again?
Lawrence picture this week. This weekend where he had all the wide receivers and BTJ wasn't there.
Yeah.
And now people are freaking out and Hunter looks like a million bucks. And I need Jacksonville to figure that out. Cause I said,
just tell me what to do.
I know. I said no less than 7 days ago that we're done with Hunter as a wide receiver, but apparently we're not. So that's kind of the two, I guess the third one would be Godwin versus McMillan. And just who's getting what snaps and where. I guess the other.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but Miami Like we just talked about, like the receivers again, Malik Washington, Chris Bell, Caleb Douglas, Jalen Tolbert. Will the real wide receiver one please stand up? You know what I mean? Like, who do we want here? Yeah. Well, possibly, yeah. But I mean, like, in terms of a wide receiver, they've got Dulcich, who I know we brought up too, but like, I don't know if I really trust that. Like, I just want to see what that offense looks like because I have no idea what to expect. Watch Tutu Atwell be their wide receiver one by the end of the year, like scoring the most points. You know what I mean? Like, that would just be crazy. And he's probably going to be like wide receiver 87 overall, but he's like the number one Miami receiver. And it's like, well, do I want that? I don't know, but I want the best option at least. And that's when I have no idea who that's going to be.
I just had one and I lost it.
The other one was Denver now with Waddle, right? Kind of going the other direction. Like, well, what's that going to look like? I'm not quite sure, how much of that I want to trust. How high up is Waddle going to go? I mean, obviously Sutton and Franklin looked okay last year. Mims looked okay. But is Waddle going to be a wide receiver one, or is he still flex in wide receiver two territory? Like,
can he stay
how much
healthy?
Are they going to feed him the ball?
Yeah. Can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
I remember the other one. Baltimore's wide receiver two, I think, is going to be an interesting battle.
Yes.
With Lane and Surratt and Bateman still is.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of Surratt hype, not as much on Lane or Bateman, but whoever the wide receiver two, because again, Flowers can't do it all by himself. They need help. And Baltimore showed that last year when Flowers had to do it all by himself, they weren't a very good team. So they need some help. Okay. Some people talk a lot about the value of acquiring elite dynasty assets. Approximately how many players do you consider as elite dynasty assets, and who are the guys on the borderline? So I know Rocky's list, there's four people.
I never said there's only
four. I'm kidding. I think we could just do this together as like a name game. So
yeah,
Chase, Puka, JSN, yes.
Yep.
Bowers. In TA scoring specifically, yes.
McBride too.
Yeah, McBride, yeah.
Yeah, they're right there for me.
Gibbs and Bijan, end of list?
Yep, I think so. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know like Genty has some potential to be elite, but I don't consider him elite yet.
No. Like Jefferson and Lamb both have problems.
Yeah. Amon Ra, not quite, right? Like I want to, but I don't think so yet, so... Yeah, I think we're on the right track. You got three receivers, two tight ends, two running backs.
Oh, quarterbacks. And
maybe two quarterbacks with like Allen and May.
I know he had a down year. I would still consider Jefferson an elite asset.
I guess I would too, because I've been being hounded in TA10 to try and get rid of him, and none of the offers I've been getting are good enough.
Yeah, he's 27. Just Minnesota, I don't know. Like, to be elite, you got to have everything locked in. And there's question marks at his quarterback. He's the only one of those that really has that on the receiver side. Like Atlanta quarterback, yeah, but Bijan's fine. You know, like that's not going to affect him, you know. And we were just kind of talking a little bit about like Arizona and their running backs and all that. But like Trey McBride's fine. You know, like I'm not worried about him. And Bowers again, Las Vegas, not the greatest, but he's fine. You know, so I think that's probably that's the end of the list.
If Pickens wasn't there, Lamb would be in that list, but Pickens is there.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. There's a world where Colston Loveland is in that list if he plays well this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be that, and Warren could be in that conversation too if he does well in Indy. Like, I could see us adding a third tight end to that tier, but not yet.
Yeah. My dear co-host has warned me and others about sprinting rookies to tight end three.
Yeah.
We do that too often.
Well,
which is true.
Yeah, I'll just say yeah.
Yeah.
And we do it with the QBs too.
We do.
QB2, QB3, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Can you imagine the lost value on that one if you acquired Stroud before whatever, 2024?
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. Oof. He said, I always love this question, but if you were granted access to a crystal ball telling you how any one player performs in fantasy this year, who would it be?
So for I was looking ahead of the questions and I had a couple names because you guys both look like you're thinking. For me, this would be somebody who I think has a chance to jump up in value. And to me, there's two guys that came to mind. one we've just been talking about in Kyler Murray. I think that could go potentially great with the talent around him, with the coaching around him. The other one, I wonder if Frank can guess, because it's someone I talk about, I feel like, almost every week on this podcast. Different position.
I don't listen to you on this podcast. It is
to talk, not to listen.
And I often talk about how I think he could be undervalued.
What position is he?
Wide receiver. I can just say, I don't want to make I don't leave too much dead air. Roma Dunze.
I was going to say him and Burden if I could just make them one player. Yeah, I want to know who the one is.
Yes. Yeah. So I think there's a big boom potential this year for, like you said, one of them. I've always leaned to Dunze. I just like the talent more, always have. So, but yeah, those are my two.
Those are good ones. I have two that I want that came to mind immediately, and one is Joe Burrow. How do you do? Because if I can tell you, like, if you can tell me Joe Burrow finishes at QB1, we're okay, baby. Like, Bengals did all right, but if he's like QB18. I am pissed. So that's pretty much like the easy one for me. The other one that I don't know why, but like the other one that just kind of pops to mind is like, there's a lot of questions about a lot of people, but Harold Fannin, I feel like is a question mark for me. I like him. I like the player. I like the talent, I like the position, but like if he's going to be, you know, tight end six, I kind of want to see like, did that come true? Like, is, because that offense we were just talking before about Watson and Sanders and like, you know, Quinshon Judkins is there and all this, but like they have Concepcion and Judy. Like, is Fannin really going to be there? Is he going to be the guy? Because tight end gets bleak quick. And I've got Fannin on a couple leagues where it's like, well, I don't really feel like tearing up for anybody. They're all question marks. Like, so yeah, Fannin is just, I think he belongs where he is, but I'd love to know that.
Well, obviously my first answer is my son, Travis Etienne, who I've acquired everywhere. So I obviously want to know if that was worth it.
Smart.
But the other one, I have to see how AJ did in New England. I have to see if all of this garbage was worth it. And if he's just back to being a top seven wide receiver again, and we're all of that was for nothing. Devontae Smith would be my other one. I need to see how he is back. He's not a rookie. He's a big boy now. Like, let's just, he's the one. Let's see how he does. All right. I'm going to phrase this one very carefully because I understand layoffs are a very sad and scary thing. And we're just going to say, but I like his concept. With the ESPN layoffs today, first off, those were terrible. Stefania Bell is a legend. Let's get that out. With the ESPN layoffs, there's a lot of renewed talks about which voices people like to hear in the mainstream space. Are there any voices you feel like really impact or previously impacted your personal approach as a dynasty manager? Well, I like the question. Yeah.
One of the OGs, like all-time greats, someone who can say a word and I'm just like leaning in, like, what is he going to say, is Matt Harmon. I feel like Matt Harmon has just been terrific with reception perception. I would love to see him get a shot on something like ESPN. I mean, speaking for fantasy and dynasty and all that, like, I really think somebody like that that's put in the work would be really cool, just because I know that he would crush it with that. He's doing great at Yahoo, don't get me wrong. But and then the other one is another recent free agent, and Joe Pisapia, a friend of the pod,
who will be at the Expo. That was like breaking news today.
I know.
Twitter freaked out.
I was very happy with that. I asked him because I've been chatting with him a little bit since the transition for him. And I was like, oh, dude, that's – because, again, Joe's just a good dude. I know, Rocky, I think you were on at least one of those with me on Junkies.
Yeah.
And he just stayed on for like an hour after the show. So, Joe, if you're listening to this, big fan. Yeah. Excited to see you at the Expo. But, again, like, I think he would do great on ESPN. Yeah. I think he knows when to do he knows all about the media landscape. He knows how to do – all the talking heads, all the quick hits, all this, like, he knows all the things. And I love his voice and the way he says things, the way he thinks things through. Like, I just think he'd be great too. So those, again, I'm not trying to, you know, get too crazy on this, but Matt Harmon and Joe Pisapia are two of my favorites for sure.
The funny thing is when I saw this, I'm like, I don't know that anyone's hugely impacted my personal approach as a dynasty manager, because I feel like I'm a little weird as a dynasty manager.
No.
With my attitudes towards quarterbacks and super flex. I also tend to I don't worry about trying to keep something going for 10 years. I tend to try and go hard, then rebuild for one or two, and then go hard again, which I don't think is super touted in like dynasty circles and podcasts and things like that. So, and the first name that actually came to my mind, though, was actually someone who's not even really thought of as a dynasty person, which was J.J. Zacharyson. Mm-hmm. But he does do a lot of dynasty content in the offseason. Yep. And he's an amazing analyst. He's an amazing human being. I've potted with him once or twice before. And he's, like, ridiculously nice. It's insane. And the only other one I could think of is Russ.
I was gonna say that is this show.
Oh, what a good answer!
Yes,
my first Dynasty exclusive show was this show, and that's a true story. I did a Dynasty league in 2021, coming out of COVID, and I won it. And I needed some. I wanted to keep talking about it, and my friends were like, they were still in the redraft phase, so they weren't talking about football as much. They were saying, you know, it's March. Why would we do that? And so I started listening to this show. And this show and Andrew and Junkies and every – like, it was – this was my first Dynasty-specific stuff that I listened to. And in terms of just kind of straight-up fantasy football – I will always swear by the CBS crew, Azer and Jamie and Dave and Heath and Dan Schneier, and all of them do an amazing job. Jacob Gibbs, I'm not going to name them all. And Ben Gretsch back in the day was always a fun person to have on. But I think them and the Footballers have always been kind of my two podcasts. And by the way, Bob, if you need to think about whether or not moving the date earlier for the expo was the right idea. You have 100%. Joe Pisapia and the footballer showing up for like the first time ever. So
is that why they moved it up?
Well, it was not for them, but it was like to avoid
not specifically, but
like it was.
He was thinking if I move it up, they'll have a better chance, and it worked.
Yeah, more people to come.
It was more people, and I think he said it on like a podcast or something like that. I think. And don't quote me on this, but I think he said like attendance was starting to go down in that kind of first, second week of August because people were going on like their last vacations with family before school started. So he thought if he did it now, he would miss that like family vacation time. So it clearly has worked because I've seen a lot of people saying like, this is my first expo and all that stuff. Yep. So it's very exciting. So, but those are the people I've focused on. And speaking of the expo, Andrew, would you like to discuss our Saturday tradition and how it started? Because I think it's a fun story.
So Rocky was actually there.
I was part of the first.
This is perfect. So the story I tend to tell, Rocky, feel free to add some other seasonings to this. But we decided instead of paying for the beers at the stadium, we would just bring our own beers and do tailgating for the flag football that was going on.
Yeah, because there's a party inside the stadium,
At the time, that year, they do it now at Jerseys, but the Saturday party used to be inside the stadium, and you'd pay, you know, $6, $7, $8 for a beer. And we were like, well, why don't we go while they're doing the flag football thing? We'll just take some beers. I always bring beers for beer exchange. I had a cooler full of beer. I'm like, we'll just go hang out in the parking lot. And it was you, me, and Drew, I think, Drew Prowell, and Mark Shue, I think, was one of the first. It was like your whole house there, pretty much. But we went to the parking lot, so cracking some beers and just hanging out, and people coming through, and a poll vote stopped by, Scott Fish stopped by, like just everybody and their mother were just kind of wandering through, and that was 2022, I think it was.
Yeah, it was my first expo, I believe, and outside the people I stayed with, I think you were probably the person I was hanging. Were we doing Junkies? I think we were doing Junkies then, right?
We were doing Junkies. Yeah.
And so you were you were probably the person I hung out with the most, and we had the idea to just hang out and. The plan was just to do it for a little bit and then go in, but I think we stayed out there most of the night. The whole party was going on because everyone just kept coming up to us. Yeah. And everybody, like you said, Scott Fish was hanging out with us for like a half an hour. Seth Wolcock, I remember stopping by, ITN, is that right? ITN, whatever.
FTN.
Yeah. FTN. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, the trunk beers. So, yeah, and then we kept drinking, and we just never, I think, went inside the stadium.
We went inside, but it was dark. Like, it was late.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking
we were there, like, mid-afternoon, yeah.
Yeah,
so I don't think we stayed in the stadium nearly as long as we stayed by the trunk.
No, and I know there was even some talk about, like, do we go back to the trunk? Like, this is actually not as fun. But then I did it again the next year, too, and they didn't. They did that was the year, I think, that Dez was there for flag football. And so it was a rainy, it was a pouring down rain kind of day. We were all in the bubble watching Dez. And then there was, like, a gap in the action between that and the party. And so I had planned on doing trunk beers and ended up, we went out to do some trunk beers and I can't remember all the names. There were so many people and I'm sorry if I'm forgetting you, but there was like me and Herms and Cooter Doodle and Chris and just some other, like just Mr. Scampers. You know what I mean? Like some of those guys, like we all go out to the car and then it downpours rain and we all hop into cars and like try to keep ourselves out of the rain for a little while. But then that stopped. We just got right back out to do trunk beers again. And so trunk beers was the original thing that we've done every year. And I know Bob asked me this year, he's like, well, do you want to do part of that as the beer exchange? Because I feel like that's kind of the point anyway. I'm like, that's always been the off the record thing. But now, like, I know John Bosch will do beer exchange. Like, you bring beers and you literally just trade them in the parking lot. And I'm like, well, why trade when you can drink them? Like, what are we doing here? Like, let's just crack them open. So I know last year I was in the King's Classic the last 2 years and couldn't get out there till like 4 o'clock. So that's kind of the plan for this year is Saturday.
This is why that works, by the way, because everyone leaves the Hall of Fame in King's Classic and Queen's Classic and everyone's cars are already there.
Yep.
So
the other thing, though, is there nothing is at the bubble this year. So, and because they moved it up, it's not even really open. So there is some question marks as to whether or not we'll be as allowed as we have been in the past. I still think it'll be fine. I know, Rocky, you were there last year. Like the guy will drive by with the golf cart and be like, everybody good? I'm like, yeah, we're good. We're just chilling. And I think the party's at Jersey's again. So everybody who is at the Hall of Fame for any of the King's Classic stuff, which I highly recommend, even if you're, you know, even just a tangential fan, it's worth going to the Hall of Fame just to watch that occur. And
I might go and watch this year. I didn't do it last year.
It's fun. It's just a good time. The auction is so exciting to listen to. They have a live auctioneer who's actually auctioning off the players. It's so cool. But then the official start time is 4 o'clock. But I'll probably be out there, you know, ready to go at like 2:30 or 3, knowing me. I always say to people too, like, just come by or don't. It's, you know, it'll be fun. It's awesome if you're there. If you can't make it or have something else, no hard feelings. Yeah. I also tell people, like, you don't have to bring beer. It's not like it's that kind of thing.
I didn't
last year. And I think that's very common for people that don't know what to do or don't know how to do. Like, I don't know where to get beer. Like, okay, just come by. That's fine. We got plenty. Yes. I'm bringing plenty. I know everybody.
Andrew will hand them out.
I will have cigars as well, probably. And we'll just be hanging out in a parking lot, drinking shoes with Shuey. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of going nuts.
Have a picture. Hang on. Patreon.com/TriaXPod.
I'll vamp for you for a little bit. I'll just finish with this and just say, you know, come by if you want. It's a great time. But a lot of people end up bringing, like, you know, 6 or 12 beers for one person. That's just not going to work. We need your help. So please come drink. Yes. The official Shuey. Yeah.
I think that was my first Shuey ever.
Mine, by far mine. I had never done that before.
Yeah.
Drinking beer out of a shoe for those listening on the bus.
Yeah.
So I will add a few things. I know Jersey's wasn't the most popular party last year. Some people had fun. Some people didn't. If you would like something different, go to Trunk Beers. It's a big parking lot. If for some reason the bubble doesn't work, Frank in the chat on Twitter, Andrew Hall FF on Twitter, Dynasty FF Addicts, just everyone
Discord
will tweet.
Discord is a great one, too. There's a room for in the Discord and the Expo Discord if we're doing something. I think our backup plan is the Centennial Plaza where we're at on Friday.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like that's a place people are familiar with, and it's another big open area that I've done. You know, we've definitely done things like this before. Yes. So that's kind of our backup plan, but we'll be posting and things like that. If you go to the bubble parking lot and don't see us, you know, feel free to send us a DM or a message. I know I'll be trying to pay attention to that as much as I can. Yeah. But yeah, we'll probably be up there at 2 or 3 and we'll go until we don't want to be there anymore. So, you know, just stop by.
If you are a person who does not like showing up empty-handed, and you are staying at the Doubletree. I looked it up. There is a beer store a 9-minute walk from the Doubletree. You can go get something and just bring it with you.
There was one guy, I think it was 3 years ago, he brought a 6-pack of Bud Light, and he was like, is this cool? I'm like, yeah, man, come on down. Like, I'll take some water. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's kind of nice to spread it around. But again, it's all he had. Like, that's literally all he had in his fridge. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, he was just trying to, he was normal dude. Like, come on down. So,
yeah.
No, it's free. You don't have to bring
it. It is free. And I don't want to
just come on, hang out.
I don't want to speak against that. I'm just saying, if you don't like showing up empty handed, there are places to get. Yeah.
I hear you.
I think that's all on the trunk beers. We're saying trunk, by the way, trunk. We're not saying drunk beers, although it becomes that probably later. But
I do want to get a hat made. This is ask me about my trunk beers. You know what I mean? Like just like ask me about trunk beers. Like let's go hang out. It's become my one of my things, and I'm couldn't be prouder. Very happy.
Andrew, the other question I have for you is: will you be defending your cornhole championship with Sean McCormick?
No, I will not be defending that. We didn't win it.
You had like a belt or something.
Like, I did not.
You have these big necklaces?
Well, we had necklaces, but we didn't win anything.
Oh, I thought you won it.
No. And even then, that was when I played with Sean McCormick. That was a few years ago. Okay. And we actually did pretty well. But then I know I was with Rodriguez. I forget the guy's name now. Sorry. But like, and this is the first year in a few years that I'm like not signing up for anything. And it's not because it's not fun. It's just because I don't want to lock myself into anything. So, like, I'll be at Cornhole. I'll be at the Centennial Plaza. I'll be at Jersey's. I'll be at the King's Classic. But I'm not officially doing any of it, which is going to be nice.
I'm just going to hang out and drink anyway.
Yeah, just a free agent roaming the parking lot drinking beers. That sounds great to me. Let's do that.
We will not be at Milestones. RIP Milestones.
Did it close? Sad.
It closed for good. Milestones is gone. I do need to try George's though. That's what everyone keeps telling me. That's the one place I haven't tried yet.
It gets real hot in there, so be ready.
Okay. I think that's all we have. So that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Andrew, for coming on. Before we head out, why don't you? I didn't do this at the start, did I? Remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do. I knew I forgot something.
Sure, no, that's fine. It's an easy one.
Poor Frank, don't worry.
I'm Andrew Hall at Andrew Hall FF on Blue Sky and X or Twitter, whatever we're calling it. I know it's Twitter for everybody that knows Rocky, but I am starting a new podcast with Ronnie, who was on last week.
God, I knew I forgot.
He talked something. About that. What in the AI? We had our first episode yesterday on Monday. And it's just going to be Ronnie kind of teaching the dummy that is me how to do AI and how to do more things. So I'm kind of looking forward to that and learning how to do some things there. And then I got another podcast in the works that it maybe would be like a monthly podcast. We'll see what we want to do with that. But more of a, 30 minutes a month, real light, real easy, and just kind of yapping for yapping's sake that we might start up with a buddy of mine. I'll keep on the DL till it's official. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm not really writing for anybody at the moment, which has been great. It's been nice having some time off and like not having commitments to worry about. So, but I'm ready to get back into it. So let's go do it.
Yeah. The buddy is Russ Fisher. He's coming at
retirement. Oh, I wish. No, that would be great. No, not Russ Fisher.
Our stuff, patreon.com/JXPod. You can watch while we record. You can see a picture of Andrew and Rocky drinking out of a shoe. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Most important thing, Fantasy Cares. SFB is done. I mean, it's done essentially.
This is 13, but yeah, still much.
SFB drafts are, I think, done. I think there's like a couple left here and there, but they're basically done. But there's a ton of campaigns right now. Andrew's got all sorts 16. Of
16.
Okay. I will be, I think, basically all in SFB stuff in the expo. Lots of campaigns right now. One and Done, Survivor, Pick'em, End of Summer Giveaway. I don't know what their big prize is this year. It was a Switch 2 last year. I don't think Scott's announced that yet. So do that. SFB Merch Store. Shows Trivia on Tuesday nights, which I actually got called out of the bullpen to be on Trivia tonight. So I was on that tonight and the Wednesday night hangout where there might be some shenanigans because I think I don't know if Zach and Russ are going to be in the same place or not, but I think there's going to be some shenanigans on the hangout tomorrow. So I think that's it before I sign it off. I will be at the expo. Rocky will be at the expo. Andrew will be at the expo. Everyone, please say hi. All of us will probably have beers in our hands, if we're being honest. So,
Lord willing.
Yes. And the expo is literally something I did last year, and I've been counting the minutes ever since I did it. So I'm very excited to see everyone. And yeah, come say hi. We don't have booths or anything, but we'll be out there. As Rest Assure always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night, Frank.
Junkies out.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.